I think I'm high on paint.
Hello. Are you all right there, Martin?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just think I'm high on paint.
Right. Why do you think that?
Well, I've just been, I've been doing some decorating. It's got to the painting element of things. Well, I didn't open any windows.
Right. You shouldn't be sniffing it.
Huh?
You shouldn't be sniffing it.
Oh.
You should be, and yeah, you should be opening the windows.
Ah. Mm. Right. Thank you for that. And welcome to this edition of Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, hello. Whilst Martin seems to be having increasingly more frequent breakdowns, this is Nolpois. It is actually a Eurovision podcast. If you've tuned into that and thinking, I didn't want to listen to this paint-based podcast. No, it is about Eurovision, actually. I'm Laura. That's Martin over there. And we've got lots to talk about once again in this episode, haven't we?
Yeah, we really do. A little bit later on, I'm going to bring you an interview that I recorded earlier on this week with a very, very interesting man called Joe Mason, who I think is almost the perfect guest for us, because not only has he worked for Eurovision and he's been involved with doing social media for Eurovision and the production of the song contest, he's now working for the BBC in its Eurovision coverage. And he can give us lots of behind-the-scenes information, including a bit of an exclusive on what the staging might look like for Embers by, this is the UK entry, of course, James Newman.
Yes.
So that is really, really exciting. It was a fascinating conversation. You'll hear that in just a little bit. The usual stuff as well, compare and contrast. We're going to do some correspondence and all the fun of the fair.
Yes, all that as well. But first, very quickly, because we've just had the Oscars, they've just happened. And of course, sadly, the Eurovision movie missed out on getting the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Huzovic was up there nominated for the Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. It had a good chance of winning, I think, you know.
It was a good film.
It was a good film, good song, really. I mean, the film wasn't nominated, it was the song. Unfortunately, let's just say the film did not get any. sadly, it missed out there. But and who did Judas and the Black Messiah, the song Fight For You, won instead? Don't know it, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great. Okay, I want to move on to talk about Australia, because if you're in the Eurovision world, Australia's very much been kind of centre of attention over the last week or so. Really, really sad, and I do feel really sorry for Australian fans and Montaigne as well, who's representing Australia this year. But because of kind of obvious things really around coronavirus, Australia will not be competing in person at Eurovision 2021 this year in Rotterdam, and instead they're moving to that backup option that they have available for countries who, for whatever reason, aren't able to perform on the night. This thing that they've already recorded in Australia on tape, that is going to be shown instead. I think it's a massive shame.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I understand why some people, you know, are upset about this, and it is a shame for Montaigne that she's not able to go to that stage. She is still taking part, but obviously it's going to, as you say, feel very different. Some people saying, you know, why is this fair that Australia's sports teams are being allowed to go? And I guess the point is that, you know, you can't record a sports team's performance. They have to be there live.
It's a good point, isn't it?
That is when you think, because that's what a lot of people were saying on Twitter, and that is really the reason, isn't it? She is able to do that backup thing, and that I believe there's a lot of questions about she'd probably be able to leave, but whether she'd be able to come back to Australia, that would be the issue. So they've obviously made the call that works for them, but yeah, a big shame for Montaigne not being able to perform in Rotterdam.
Yeah, it means the song Technicolor will be part of Eurovision, as we said, but it won't be there live on the night. We thought we should get a bit of an Australian view on this, and maybe just a little bit more of an explanation. So we contacted our friend Liz from our sister podcast, 12 Points, which is based in Australia.
This is Elizabeth Allen, one half of the Douce Poix podcast, just reporting in the situation of Australia competing in Eurovision in 2021. If you're anything like me, I can barely contain my excitement for these last few weeks. Now, Australia this year, unfortunately, will not be making it live to the stage of Eurovision 2021. Instead, our artist Montaigne will be performing in the Australian stage. Now, they are citing, obviously, COVID and travel restrictions as the reason that Montaigne won't be coming. We have very strict quarantine rules in Australia. There's still no flights outside of Australia. We've only just had our first flight go to New Zealand, where we have a little travel bubble, but you're not allowed to go anywhere else. Now, the officials in charge decided that, obviously, because 2020 was cancelled, they reselected Montaigne without a contest to represent Australia this year. Montaigne has in fact decided to send a song of her own writing. And can we say, we are so, so sorry. We had no choice. We had no say. I can't get behind this. Oh, I've actually started writing formal apology cards to every person across Europe. I am very sorry for what Australia is going to do to you this year. Oh, if not only because the artist has thrown in all those wobbling, inappropriate key changes that for some reason the artist seemed to love so much and just puts the rest of us in a cold sweat. So again, I do apologize. Oh, this isn't our finest Johnny Logan style hour either. Hey, there we go. But at the end of the day, it is Eurovision. It is going to be back on track. Australia will be there emotionally, spiritually, and let's be honest, the Roop's going to win this year anyway. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Thank you, Liz, for your reaction.
Thank you, Liz.
Liz may be being on the old bucket there. I'm not sure.
Liz has been on the sauce. She's been putting the sauce in the bucket.
Bless you, Liz. We do love getting your reaction to these things. Raises a good point, obviously, about the quarantine issues with Australia at the moment and why that's all going on. Not a big fan of Technicolor.
She's not a big fan of it, was she?
Did not like Montaigne's song at all. And, you know, a few people have sort of said this. I think it's probably Australia's least popular song they're sending. Of course, Australia still will have to compete in the semi-finals. Montaigne will be competing in the first semi-final. So let's see. Maybe she won't even get through to the final. That would be a little bit awkward, but also probably solve quite a few issues for them.
Yeah, it would make Liz's day by the sounds of things. Yes. Oh, thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Still to come on Nul Poix, we're going to do compare and contrast. We like this feature. It's award. It's not won any awards yet.
No.
But it could do. What we do is we take the song that was due to represent a country in 2020 and compare it with a new song by the same artist due to represent the country in 2021. And I thought, after what we've heard there from Liz just a moment ago, with a bit of whooping for the Roop, I thought we should do Lithuania. So yeah, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, shall we talk about your Bezzy mates at the OGAE?
Yeah. Yes, we should. We should indeed. And they've done a little poll. We should say the OGAE, they are basically, that's the official fan base for Eurovision. And there's loads of different chapters. I'm in the UK one, of course, but there's loads of different ones. But they've done a poll, haven't they, Martin?
They have indeed. So each country represented by their own OGAE membership have polled their members in their country for who they think has the best Eurovision song this year. And slowly but surely, we are getting those results in and we can build up a picture of who, according to the diehard fans in each country, is going to win overall. So this is the leaderboard so far. We are still waiting on a few votes, so we don't have the complete full list at the moment, but this is
yeah.
the most up-to-date we have. In at five, I'm surprised it's so low, San Marino with old Flo Rida is in there.
With 81 points, we should say.
Yeah, then we have Lithuania with 89 points. I mean, the points kind of don't really mean anything at the moment because we're still waiting for more countries to come in. Lithuania is at four, so that's a roup. Then, unbelievably, France is at number three.
You say France, unbelievably, but France has gotten quite a big following, Martin. This is, of course, Voila, the song Voila. A lot of people are actually quite enjoying. I know it didn't really strike us very much, did it? Barbara Pravi, isn't it, who's singing it? But a lot of people, big fans of it. I think maybe I'm just not a big fan of a ballad unless it's got a really good hook.
Yeah, I'm the same, but okay, fair play. Then we have Malta, which is, I think, my favourite at the moment, with Jumacas, which is just fantastic. That's in at number two. And number one, according to the fans so far, is Switzerland. And I'm desperately trying to remember what the song is. What's the Switzerland one?
Well, we know it's obviously your mate John's Tears.
Oh, John's Tears. Yes.
Or Gajon, as you always like to. And it's, I believe it's called Two Universe.
says it three times, does it, in the title?
Two Luniverse.
I mean, it was all right, I think.
I remember it being quite screechy. I'll be very interested to see how it's quite a beautiful song, but there is a lot of him going again. One, I'd be interested to see how he stages it. I prefer Malta. I think.
Oh, me too.
It's got a bit more of a hook to
definitely.
It.
Definitely. Anyway, we don't know the full details on that yet, so we'll maybe update that.
And at the end of the day, it's all meaningless anyway because it doesn't, you know.
Thank you.
Well, I don't mean life. I mean just the...
Oh, I got it. Okay, not long to go now until the Eurovision Song Contest. So I thought it might be quite interesting to get a bit of a sense of what's going on behind the scenes in the run-up to the competition. Joe Mason has worked for the EBU on the Eurovision Song Contest, as well as countless other TV shows, and he's now involved with the BBC's coverage of the contest in the United Kingdom. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Martin.
I want to go straight into this. The Eurovision Song Contest is one of, if not the biggest TV show in the world. How big of an undertaking is that for an organisation to actually put on the thing?
You really cannot underestimate what a huge operation it is for every single participating broadcaster. It's crucial to everyone because it is one of the biggest audience generating events of the year. It's one of the biggest undertakings for the host broadcaster who have the honour of organising the competition in a specific year. Obviously, for the EBU, threading it all together is enormous. From within the BBC, it is one of the biggest events for young audiences. And we cannot wait for Eurovision to return this year in 2021. It's something that I think everybody is just crying out for and is just ready to be in a sea of bright colours, incredible music and outstanding performances.
Yeah, I mean, well, we definitely need it right now, don't we? And especially after 2020 didn't happen, and we just cannot wait for it to be happening. So, I mean, paint us a picture then, because we'll get on to your new role now with the BBC in a second, but I want to go back to what is actually happening at the EBU and in the run-up to the song contest, because we're less than a month to go. So what would be going on right now to get the contest ready?
Well, right now on the EBU side, it's all systems go. In the specific example of 2021 in Rotterdam, more and more people are getting on the ground at the arena. So the load-in has happened at the Ahoy. The stage has been constructed. So there's lots of fine details that are going in. And we're just days away from the technical rehearsals beginning. And of course, then there's actually working up the show. A script will have been written a long time ago, but that's still a constantly evolving piece of work. Right now in the Netherlands, they have films, the interval acts. They are still producing postcards at the moment for the artists, and all of those are in the edit. So it's a really good place in the journey where it does feel like weeks away, but it's just going to continue to ramp up. And so then they are on the home stretch before first rehearsals begin for the delegations that are performing in the first semi-final.
Wouldn't it be so exciting to be there and just be amongst all of that excitement, and probably a little bit of panic as well? Do you think that COVID has made those preparations that you talk about even more difficult than they would have been normally?
Oh, 100%. For every plan that you make in a COVID environment, you have to have so many more contingencies that you would never have dreamt of pre-pandemic. And so that does affect every single element of planning, even if it's interviewing the artist backstage, which is something that happens after the rehearsals for social and online. It's how do you do this in a safe way?
That's probably what's going to be happening in Rotterdam at the moment. Let's switch over, because this is great. What's great to talk to you is that you've kind of seen it from both sides. You've seen it from the EBU side, the people who are actually organising the contest itself. So then we go down to the individual countries and the broadcasters within those countries who are putting the show out on their channels, but also, of course, are selecting the acts and are working with their own act that represents the country which they cover. What's going on at the BBC now? What's going on there?
Since January, plans have been put in place for the staging of the events. This year, because it's 2021, and one of those COVID contingencies is the live on tape element. So if James wasn't able to perform on stage in Rotterdam for any reason, then his live on tape performance would get shown, and every delegation has had to prepare one of these. Of course, that's an additional requirement this year for every delegation. What we've done as well is we have prepared his staging for Rotterdam itself. So we've got an amazing creative team to generate those ideas.
And do you know what that looks like? Are you able to give us any little hints as to what we might be seeing on the Eurovision stage from James Newman's performance?
All I can say is that it's going to look epic. We're talking bright colours. Let's take a lyric from the song, which is Light Up the Room. That's what I feel James is going to be doing.
This is so exciting. I think it's going to look good. Are you happy with it? Like, when you've seen it, what's been the kind of feeling that you've had when you've seen the plans?
I can't tell you, Martin, the moment that I listened to the song for the first time, I heard it a couple of months before it was released. I was so excited. You hear those brass instruments and it just gets you excited that, you know, you've got a banger coming. And it was just fun.
So then the BBC's role, as you've talked about, is getting that song ready, doing the staging, selecting the act, filming these things. What are you going to be doing then on the night, and what have you been doing in the run-up to the competition with your work within the BBC's Eurovision coverage?
I must say I've got a very exciting role this year. We are doing things slightly differently at the BBC. And obviously every delegation this year has to do things differently because each country is limiting the numbers of people that travel in the delegation. But the rest of the production team, we will be down in London producing the show. We also have an amazing on-screen and commentary team for the semi-finals. Of course, Scott Mills, Ryan Clark-Neil, and new to the Eurovision family this year, Chelsea Grimes, who we're delighted is joining us. She's got amazing songwriter credentials and is actually a good friend of James as well. I am part of the team getting the semi-final coverage ready. So at the moment, our team are writing biographies about all of the different artists and the songs. And something that we love to do on the BBC as well is we love to have fun with Eurovision. It is one of the most fun shows in the world. So why don't we bring that as well to our coverage in the semi-finals? So we are currently working on some really exciting and fun films that reflect the fact that, unfortunately, we're not necessarily over in Rotterdam as a family. But yeah, everything really is all systems go for the BBC 4 semi-final coverage. And also to support James on social media, we have just introduced on the BBC Eurovision Instagram page live Q&A sessions with previous UK Eurovision artists. And we've got some really exciting UK artists lined up for that.
Very best of luck with it, Joe. I'm sure it's going to go really, really well. I can't let you go without talking about who you're looking forward to on the night itself. Any countries that you just can't wait to see perform?
Honestly, Martin, I've never known a Eurovision year to be so open and so high quality in the songs and the artists. Every year, usually there are two or three songs that you feel as if they are the contenders to win. This year, I feel as if there's about 15. One of my favourite songs, I absolutely love Benny Cristo and Oh My God. It's so fun. He's an amazing performer. The Czech Republic, they always bring exciting staging. Of course, finally, we're going to see The Roop and Danny Freer on stage for Lithuania and Iceland. James's song, I cannot wait to see the staging come to life. It's just going to be an incredible year. Of course, the likes of Destiny for Malta with Shimmer Cats. Honestly, I don't know what way it's going to go, but the grand final itself is just going to be one of the best shows, I think, that Eurovision has ever seen.
Oh, well, I certainly hope you're right, and I think you may well be. Joe, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. And as I said, very best of luck with everything that you're doing, working with the BBC in its coverage of Eurovision, and we'll catch up again soon.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Martin.
Right, now it's time for everybody's favourite new feature, Compare and Contrast. So this is basically where we take a song from this year from a country, and we also look at that country's song last year. Because of Eurovision not happening last year, most of the artists from last year have been moved on to this year. So it's the same artist for most of the countries competing in Eurovision. Therefore, this time we're going to look at Lithuania and how they fared, what their song was last year, and look at this year's song as well. And it's The Roop, of course, isn't it, Martin?
It is The Roop, yeah, and a lot been said about The Roop, I have to say, over the last year or so. Yeah, a lot said in this podcast by Liz, absolutely. So let's have a little listen to what they were putting forward in 2020. This is The Roop, representing Lithuania, and On Fire.
The heat is getting higher. My desire, I feel that I'm on fire.
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, do you remember the weird hand gestures as well?
It was all right, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember it being...
This, along with Iceland's entry, was tipped to win. A lot of people had this down as their winner of Eurovision 2020. And you could see why. It's a very catchy song. He's quite kooky. Again, had its sort of own little dance with the hands on top of the head. I'll be honest, watching that back makes me a bit sad, because it's just like, it just brings back the memories of, like, because this was obviously came out, I've watched the official video of that, and that came out in 15th of February, before all of this happened, basically. And you could just see everybody in the audience watching them. And it's just kind of, yeah, it just made me a bit sad, really, just thinking of, like, no one really knew what was coming.
We were all living in blissful ignorance, weren't we? Very sad. Anyway, let's compare it with their entry, The Roop's entry, representing again Lithuania for this year, 2021. And the song is called Discotheque.
Let's discotheque.
Well, the first thing I'd say there is that you can definitely tell they're by the same band.
Yes. Oh, totally. It's got definitely got the same kind of tone and melody, hasn't it? And obviously they do the little hand dancing thing again.
Yeah, they were obviously trying to recreate some of the elements of the first song that were so successful. But I think they also have made a very conscious decision to not just replicate it, because sort of ruin things. I have to say, I like both songs for very different reasons. They both sound a little bit, and maybe the second one more so, a little bit sort of futuristic. In my head, this is the sort of music that they listen to in The Hunger Games. Do you know what I mean?
No. Like
it's all just a little bit sort of otherworldly.
Okay.
Okay, clearly not going to win you round on that particular thought. But
that's a strange. What, in the Hunger Games?
Yeah, because you know it's all like futuristic in the Hunger Games, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of apocalyptic, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. It. There you go. It's post-apocalyptic. I've come up with a genre.
Yeah.
Can't quite say it. No. But I'll work on that.
And you think the Roop would be in that?
I think the Roop would be the forefront of that, yeah.
Well, let me just give some normal music criticism of this. I think discotheque is interesting, isn't it? Obviously, because it includes that line, it's okay to dance alone, which obviously a lot of people can relate to this year with everything that's been going on. We've all had to like sort of be alone for a lot of the time. So I really like that line in it. I think that really works. It's a lot darker. I'd say a lot of other people have tried to like come out with a song that's maybe a bit more lighter, a bit more, you know, fun because of everything that's been going on. People don't necessarily, I mean, one or two people, obviously, they've been like slower ballads. But I like the fact they've kind of stuck with their sort of darker brand a bit. I don't think it's quite as good as their 2020 On Fire entry. I don't think there was just a little something more with that. And maybe, again, it was the sort of surprise factor. People didn't really expect Lithuania to do very well. I think the best they've ever done is sixth with the song We Are the Winners of Eurovision, as we all know. I think they'll still place very well, and it looks like the OGA polling shows that as well, but I'm not sure, can't see this being in the top three myself.
Neither can I. I agree with everything you've said, and you said everything I wanted to say, but
good.
Better
good.
Than I did.
Or
could, yes. And I wiped my hands off the situation. I think that's sort of what I was trying to get at when you were talking about that kind of darker sound for the 2021 one. That is sort of what I was trying to get at with the whole Hunger Games thing.
Right, okay.
I think they haven't gone for the, as you say, the other, some of the other artists have done, which is to try and spread a bit of positivity. They've gone for the more, which I think sort of works.
It works. I think it works for them. It's their sort of brand, isn't it? I mean, to be fair, they're, you know, it, yeah, it's quite a sort of a lonely sound almost. And then they're saying things like, oh, it's okay to dance alone. But I think it works for them. I mean, he's quite a strange guy, the main singer. So I think it's their sort of brand to be a little bit eccentric and weird.
Yes, much like myself.
Much like us.
I would say, on balance, although I do like the two of them, I would say the 2021 was better. I think I prefer On Fire. I think it's just a little bit more accessible. It's a more accessible level of weird that people can get on board with. I wonder that discotheque is just not quite the sort of mass weirdness that would work.
Yes, no, I totally agree with you there. I'm the same. For me, On Fire was just a little bit more accessible, a little bit more fun. But I can still see this doing very well.
Okay, well, there we go. That's our thoughts on it. We'd love to hear yours, and we'll give you the details in just mere moments. But that's it for that particular little episode there of Compare and Contrast. And we move on to the correspondence. So the details of how you can get in touch coming your way in just a second. Has anybody actually said anything to us?
Yes, they have. Of course, Martin. They always do. Thank you very much to Martin Dix, D-I-X, on Twitter, because we were asking people what they thought about Montaigne not being able to perform in Rotterdam, and give us their thoughts on that. Marta said it would be good if we knew exactly why the decision was made. Flight schedules and quarantine times going back to Australia, perhaps. It's hard to hear we can't leave the island when Australian footballers, for example, are travelling, and to the Netherlands, no less. And that was kind of the point I was making earlier, and I'm guessing it's simply because teams cannot do a pre-recorded performance like singers can. But yeah, thank you, Martin, for giving us your thoughts on that. And if you do want to give us your thoughts on anything, you can do. We are on Twitter, @poinul. We are also on Instagram, @nulpoirpodcast. And also you can drop us a little email with nulpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe if you're enjoying this, and give us a 5-star review as well. Give us a high rating on iTunes.
Yes, please do. Thank you so much to our guests. Thank you to Joe Mason.
Thank you
to Liz from Douze Poir Podcast. And thank you to you for listening. We will see you again very soon for another edition of Null Poir.
Thank you. Oh,
Discotheque. That's not even the tune, but Discotheque. Copyright Discotheque. See you at Eurovision, guys.